TSS Fantasy. Yeah. It's Commissioner Cooper, and it's time.
How the fuck you got me up this damn early, Jason?
It's time.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's Commissioner Cooper, and it's time for TSS Fantasy.
Yeah.
That sounds like I just woke up from a nap, kind of. Yeah. Welcome to the studio. All right, we got a busy show tonight. Champs or chumps, very exciting one indeed. So let's get the introduction started. Welcome to the studio, Nick. I just woke up and need some iced coffee. You got Flandered Macaronis.
Yes, it is me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. Big show tonight. But before you go and view the show, make sure you go to tssfantasy.com. Check out our merchandise. We got shirts. We got hats. We got mugs. We got beanies. It is Christmas time, and I am tired, but I am ready to go.
All right. Well, we appreciate you muscling through indeed, Mr. Flanders. Also, let's welcome to the studio our paid professional, Dr. Jeffrey Miller. Welcome to the studio.
Gentlemen, it's great to be here. Coming up today on the house call, I'm going to once again remind everybody listening who not to select with your number one draft pick.
we're getting around to that discussion once again. I talked about that last night when we brought it up. It's like we've been talking about this since way in the summer. How funny is that? All right. So again, don't forget, we are the fantasy show of the people. Go to tssfantasy.com. You can check out all of our current rankings. We have them out now. They are early. Might need to adjust a little bit as we go along, but they are up there ready for you to go, so don't forget to check that out. Also, don't forget there's a link for Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. Check out all of our great podcasts on there, from wrestling to racing, basketball. We got it all. We got you covered. Everybody on there got some great shows on there. Also, on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network, don't forget to wake up Belly Up on Sundays as well. And speaking of that, we got Champs or Chumps tonight. One of our guests tonight is actually from our Wake Up Belly Up Sports lineup on 4th and 4. Zach, he's also with the Gridiron Gallery tonight, so that's going to be exciting. He faces Wes, who he's the owner of Fantasy Impact Today, so he's got a couple of shows with that. Also, Pigskin Winners, he's also on that show as well. I'll let them plug that later, though, because they're way better than I am, so we'll definitely appreciate them coming in tonight. Guys, don't forget to wake up with us on Sundays. We are the fantasy show of the people. All right, let's get things started. Like I said, we got our paid professional in here, so I don't want to keep running up the bill. Let's welcome Dr. Miller's house call.
So I had in one of my leagues the number one pick this season. And last year, you had in one of your leagues the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And we both selected CMC. He is now headed back to the IR for the second time this season. This time with an ankle injury sustained against the Dolphins on Sunday. By the way, Commissioner, how many wins in a row do we have there?
Oh, man, that is America's team. It's four, about to be number five this week, so let's get it popping.
And still won't make playoffs.
You make me a Dolphins fan, just seeing your enthusiasm and seeing the shift from early in the season. This is great. So back to CMC, injured his ankle against the Dolphins on Sunday. This is now his second trip this season to the IR, automatically ending his 2021 campaign. So good news here, I guess, is that surgery is not expected to be necessary, and he should be ready to play a game or two in 2022. But kind of looking at this from a contract perspective, he signed a four-year, $64 million extension, making him the highest-paid running back in NFL history. And after signing that, he will have played in 10 of 33 games by the end of this season. So if you have the number one pick next season in your fantasy league, don't pick CMC.
I do recall having this long conversation in the summer. And again, I remember I almost felt scolded a little when I gave him the injury prone label. You didn't want to label him that, I remember, but brother, I think it's about time he's earned it for sure. All right, who else you got?
Let's go to the Vikings. Talk about Dalvin Cook. So he's got a shoulder dislocation, which occurred during Sunday's loss to the 49ers. He's expected to miss at least two games, and the hope is that he returns for the Christmas week game on Monday, December 20th with the Bears. But there's mixed reports here, and depending on what you're reading, he either has a torn labrum and separated shoulder, or if you're listening to Coach Zimmer, he doesn't have a labral tear. So here we go. He either has a labral tear or he doesn't. Not sure which, but it's one or the other. So regardless, it doesn't appear to be season ending, but aside of the dislocation, not really sure where to go with this. Now, there's other reports as well that he's managing a labral tear in his other shoulder. So he's going to have some off-season rehab to do, probably some off-season surgery. But at the moment, we're looking at probably 2 weeks, maybe a little longer. Right now, we're saying 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, at a crucial time in fantasy anyway, also on football in general. But I don't see, you know, as you mentioned, you got the torn, possible torn labrum on one side, possible torn labrum on the other. How do you expect, I've heard this discussed earlier, how do you expect giving him a full workload when he comes back with two hurt shoulders? You know, you have to lower the shoulder as a running back to be effective. So, you know, not really sure what the Vikings are going to do. But, you know, again, Madison owners, we remarked about it last night. I said if he's available, Greg was right. He actually was available in our league. I couldn't believe the silly person who dropped him. So if he is available, just check, because you never know. Somebody might have been stupid and dropped him in your league. So definitely make that number one waiver claim tonight if that's the case. What a juicy matchup this week. All right, who else you got?
So Deebo Samuel went down during Sunday's win over the Vikings with a groin injury. In his words, quote, "My groin got kind of tight once I went to make a move. We'll see how it goes." Presently, the story is 1 to 2 weeks. Not a whole lot yet. Let's wait for today's injury report, maybe get a little bit more information.
Listen, when my groin gets tight, I like to see how it goes as well. So I feel you, Deebo. But that is a big blow possibly for the Niners. I mean, he's been so great this year. And again, horrible time in a fantasy perspective. You know, you're getting coming down the stretch here and playoffs coming. So if it's 1, 2 weeks, maybe three, who knows? Does he come back, you know, 100%? We'll see. So big injury there. All right, who else we got?
So last week, I was speculating a little bit about Aaron Rodgers' toe. And he had described it as being a little bit worse than a turf toe. And I said, okay, if it's worse than a turf toe, maybe it's a dislocation. In the interim, there's been a little bit more information that came out. And he's saying now that he fractured his toe during his COVID quarantine earlier in the month. I'm kind of curious what the backstory is. If you guys have heard how this happened, but I'm picturing him getting up to pee in the middle of the night and like kicking a wall or kicking a toy on the ground.
Doc, I believe the clinical diagnosis is vaginitis.
Here it comes. Here comes the Karen comment. Knew that was coming.
So he's been playing, according to him, the last three games with pretty much no on-field practice. And the plan is to use rest, not surgery, to help manage the pinky toe fracture. He's hoping it heals during the week 13 bye, but essentially 1 week, 2 weeks, not sufficient time for a toe to fully heal. So even after the bye week, he is going to come back less than 100%.
Boy, again, interesting to note, trouble for owners going into, again, we're going into the stretch here now, you know, on a bye week this week. So we'll see how he manages it and how it comes out. But that's, you know, big news going down the stretch here for fantasy owners. All right, who else we got?
So Ezekiel Elliott, you know, clearly banged up. We talked about him managing this knee last week. His early season production really was a whole lot better than his mid-season production. But don't say that he's going to be sitting. He doesn't want to be hearing that. but I wouldn't expect him to get as many carries and as many touches as he's been getting. It looks like with the short week coming for the Cowboys that they're going to manage his workload, but I do expect him to go, and I think his words indicate he expects to go.
Yeah, and apparently his owner got the whip cracking. Apparently, as he said, he's going to have a heavy load on Thursday. So get ready, Zeke. All right, who else you got?
DeAndre Swift. The word is right now it's, quote, hard to see him playing Sunday against the Vikings after sustaining a Thanksgiving sprained shoulder, which kept him out of the second half. And just much like I mentioned a moment earlier, there's not a whole lot to say yet. I'm expecting a little bit more from today's injury report. And I'm curious whether he practices later this week.
Yeah, hard to see him going. So Jamal Williams owners, or again, if someone happened and dropped Jamal Williams in your league, check it out. Somebody to pick up and put a priority on your waiver wire. All right, who else do we got, sir?
So Raiders tight end Darren Waller is now listed as week-to-week with a sprained iliotibial band. This is the band that runs down the outside of your upper leg, the outside of your thigh, and it helps support all the musculature on the outside. So a sprain there can be pretty hobbling. Raiders don't practice until Wednesday, but word is it would be surprising or shocking if he played later this week.
People would be surprised how tight that is on a lot of people. So get a mat, roll it on your thigh or a tennis ball, and trust me, you'll make yourself feel a lot better. All right, who else we got?
So Jalen Hurts went down with an ankle injury, but did return. According to the Eagles' offensive coordinator, the team's moving forward with a game plan as if Hurts will be ready, but they're also including conversation with whatever his backup's name is, Gardner Minshew, is that right?
Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. Minshew Mania.
So it looks like they're keeping him included in the conversation. Now, noteworthy here, the Eagles do have a week 14 bye. So if Hurts is not looking good to go, they may keep that in consideration and say, let's give him that second week, two full weeks to recover. Not really sure what to say about that. Again, looking to see what Friday practice looks like for him. And Nick, I think you might have something to add.
Yeah, they got two byes this season because they play the Jets this week.
Right. But ching, yeah, no respect. Yeah, the bottom line is that's absolutely spot on, though, Nick. As you mentioned, you got a bye week next week, and you have the Jets this week. Maybe they do roll out Minshew. If they don't, however, juicy matchup for Jalen Hurts if he decides to give it a go. All right, who else we got, Doc?
So we've got Pat Freiermuth in the concussion protocol. We got to see how he passes through that and whether he's cleared by an independent neurologist, but that is what it is. And then Dan Arnold set to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. So that's all we got for the house call tonight.
All right, indeed. Well, again, we'll check in with you later on. And I'm going to announce a little bit on Friday because there's a couple of players like JD McKissick who went out last night. So kind of want to follow up on him and Randall Cobb. So I'm going to follow up with some injuries and we'll report back on Friday. I know you're out camping this week, so we'll miss you on Sunday. However, I'll definitely give you a call and we'll get some percents to the bench and we'll get you reported on our wake up Sunday morning. So we appreciate you, my brother.
Absolutely, my friends. Y'all take care.
You too, sir. So we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, it's time for Champs or Chumps with Zach and Wes. About to bring it. Experts only tonight. Here we go. And we got a little hand. I don't know what's going on the footsies. All right, here we go. Hey, everyone. It's Commissioner Cooper from TSS Fantasy. We are the fantasy show of the people. And our network, the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network, is no different. So we teamed up with our friends from Manscaped to give back to the people for an exciting holiday giveaway. We want you to look and feel smooth this holiday season. So we're giving away the Manscaped 4.0 Performance Package. And all you have to do is go to our Facebook page at Belly Up Sports, give us a like, and that well-deserved 5-star review, and you're entered to win. It's as simple as grandma's holiday pie, and who knows what holiday and magic awaits once those ornaments are looking shiny and new again. So what are you waiting for? Give us a like, that well-deserved 5-star review, and you could be belly up all holiday season. Belly up indeed. Like apparently Nick went to go get belly up. All right, let's introduce our guest tonight. First, let's welcome Zach to the studio. Zach, welcome, my brother. Appreciate finally get you on the show. It's time for Champs or Tumps. Welcome, my bro.
Hey, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to this. We've been talking about it for weeks now, and here we are. So thank you. I'm glad to be on here. I'm excited to play this fantasy football game of yours, see how I can handle myself in the arena.
I'm sure you can do just fine. Don't worry. We've had racing. We've had basically everybody on here handling baseball. We've had it all. So I'm sure you're going to do great. Let's also welcome to the studio, Wes. We've also been talking for a long time to get you on here. Welcome to the studio, my brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad we finally were able to get joined up here on a Tuesday night. I don't know what time it is there for you, but I'm a bread man by trade. So it's getting late in the night. So, Zach, I heard you were part of the Belly Up Sports family already, and I'm thinking that this is rigged already. I'm just saying rigged. I like conspiracy theories, and so I'm calling rigged right now. I think me and Nell up here, Phil Anders, is just – he's on my side, and that's it.
What's funny about that is I can play it later, just like a game show. I actually made two separate winning things, so there's no disputing. I made a winner thing for both of you guys, so – there'll be no disputing tonight, indeed. All right, let's get it started. I'm excited because this is, again, experts only. We got all the football experts in tonight. This is what we like. It's time for Champs or Chumps. Oh. All right, so you guys know the game. These are players that are outside our top 10. We want to know if you think they'll finish in or out of the top 10, hence champ or chump. That's the name of the game. All right, let's go with round one. Ding, ding. Ryan Tannehill for the quarterbacks. Wes, I'm going to ask you to give the case for him as a champ.
Well, Ryan Tannehill has overcome so many different obstacles in his career, you know, injuries here in Miami, here and there, just different things. Also a backup whenever he got to the Tennessee Titans, and he won that job from Mariota just out of good play, I think, out of great leadership. And so I think that he'll be able to lead this team into some more victories and finally into the playoffs again this year. I know he doesn't have a lot of weapons, but that really doesn't matter with Tannehill. His leadership along with Vrabel, they'll be able to make a great combination to be able to just take this team to another level. They'll will victories out of this team.
The will is a big thing indeed. I like that argument a lot. Zach, let's hear him as a chump.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yes, with Wes's point on Vrabel, they definitely find ways to will victories. However, what I will say is comes a point, a breaking point for a team that has most of its star weapons stripped away at this moment. As we saw last week, Ryan Tannehill, only 93 yards passing. And credit, that was against a very stingy New England defense. But it's not like Tennessee is going to have any slouch of a schedule left on its roster. Yeah, it's got the Jags. Yeah, it's got the Texans left. But you still have to face the Dolphins who, hey, you know, they're looking pretty hot right now. Steelers aren't going to give you much room, and nor the San Francisco 49ers. And A.J. Brown still has just recently jumped onto his IR three-week period. Julio Jones won't be back until after their bye. And Derrick Henry's not there to time the offense. They've still had struggles with the run game. A little more successful last week, but it's not going to be enough to push Tannehill up from 15 to the top 10. I don't see it happening, I'm afraid. It'll be coming up short, mainly because they're just so strapped for cash on anywhere for specialty play.
Zach, I see what you did there. I heard you try to suck up to the host and mention the Dolphins. I'm feeling you. I like how you come in and do that. That's good. Unfortunately for you, I'm not judging this round. It's all up to Nick. So, Nick, who do you got for round one?
Well, Mr. Wes, you said that you're a bread man, right? Well, I completely disagree with your comments, but your bread is buttered with me, my friend. Wes, you win round one.
Yeah. Your bread is buttered indeed with Mr. Flanders. All right. So good job on Hey. Just we're using butter knives on here. All right, we're good. Okay. All right, let's go to round two. We're going to bring the running backs in. Mr. Henderson Jr., having a great season thus far. For the Rams, got a bit of a quad injury too. I forgot to bring that up with Doc. He might actually miss this week. That's definitely been discussed. But let's talk in the forum. We're in the realm. Zach, we're going to go to you first. Let's make him a champ.
Well, you know what? I say that Daryl Henderson is indeed a champ. Here's the thing. Look at Los Angeles as of late. They've been trying to push the ball down the field a lot more, more of a pass-heavy offense. They've lost their way a bit in balance. During against Green Bay, they actually had Henderson had some of the most carries he's had in the last five games, 16 total for 65 yards. And I think that's a trend that they need to continue with. And I know Sean McVay has definitely been asking for answers, especially after his post-game press conference against Green Bay. You're going to see a more balanced attack moving forward. Henderson will be a focal point in refocusing that. And Henderson has had 100-yard games this season. I bet he's going to have a few of those moving down the stretch. They're going to need to lean on the run game to have any success or a chance to get back into the NFC West wild card race. I'm saying he's a champ by the end of the year. Also, some players, for example, A.J. Dillon, he's going to knock Aaron Jones, I think, down. We saw that this week that he's getting some momentum in that case for numbers and positioning, too. There are some pieces of the pie. If you will, Derrick Henry, for crying out loud, the fact that he's still up in the top 10 is amazing, but eventually that's going to slip as well. I think Henderson jumps to the top 10 by the end of the season.
Well, good case indeed. Wes, let's make him a chump.
Well, I was watching that game. What was it, Sunday night? I think it was the game Sunday night or the Sunday late afternoon against the Packers. Yeah, and I Googled a name. I'm a Google machine. I Googled it, and I looked at the picture that I Googled, and I went, looked at the screen, looked at the picture, looked at the screen, and I said, Daryl Henderson is starting to look like Jerome Bettis. I don't know what it was around his waist. Maybe he was trying to dress for warmth in Green Bay, but he was getting like a little spare tire there. And I'm thinking this guy's going to slow down. I like Daryl Henderson Jr. a lot. I tried to draft him in a lot of different rooms. And then when they signed Sony Michel, I said, uh-oh, because I saw Sony Michel in the preseason. And Sony Michel looked like he had something to prove. And I don't know if that's true in the locker room. And you can't, you know how Sean McVay just likes to insert different running backs back and forth. But I think Sony Michel has something to prove. And then my one last thing about him being a chump is I have seen, as a Bears fan, I have seen Matthew Stafford over the years have some kind of little magic that he does with the running backs. And the running backs always get hurt whenever they're in his backfield. And maybe like that passing play that he caught over the middle for a touchdown the other night, Daryl Henderson, bam, he got slapped, bam. And maybe that's just what Matthew Stafford does. So I'm going to say chump because I have three strikes against him and he's out.
Nick, so we got the case of a spare tire around the belly and a Matt Stafford voodoo curse on that one. What are your thoughts? Who wins round two?
So basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, and I believe I am, Zach actually brought some data and some substance to his argument, and Wes just brought humor. As funny as he is, he's wrong. So I'm going to go with that.
All righty. Let's bring thanks for the analysis on the judging of the round, Nick. That was great. All right, we're all tied up. It's 1-1. We're going to round three. Excuse me. DK Metcalf, we're going to receivers. I mean, again, kind of had an off game last week. Russell Wilson's trying to find his groove a little bit. So he's a little bit outside the top 10. Well, Wes, we're going to start with you. Let's hear the case for DK Metcalf as a champ.
At the beginning of the season, I remember DK Metcalf being there in draft rooms, and I was thinking, you know, him or Lockett, because they're pretty, they're in the same team, same identical. And then I heard about the new offensive coordinator in Seattle, and that all these new route trees were going to be there. They were going to open up the offense. They were going to be teaching things to deep people. And the one thing I've always heard about DK Metcalf is he maybe just doesn't study that hard. Maybe he's not going to be able to adjust things. We know DK Metcalf is a physical specimen who, when the ball is thrown to him, he will go up and get it. He will take the ball and he will run very far, right? He'll overpower his matchup. Well, in this precision type of offense, we've seen his steady decline as a fantasy player. And I think with Russell Wilson's finger as well, just not being right, something just doesn't look right with that. I see DK's target share stay about the same as I've always seen it in the past, maybe a little bit lower because he's not as open. But at the same time, I haven't seen his production go up at all. I think he, what do you have, like 19 yards last week or something? That's just a really low number. And I think we're just going to continue to see DK Metcalf slip outside of that top 10, especially if Russell Wilson continues to decline as he is this season.
Okay, making the argument for the other side. Zach,
oh, did I?
You did. That's okay.
You made a good argument for what I was going to do.
So. Yeah, that was good. This show is all about the argument that you make. That's what it's all about. Okay. All right, Zach.
Sorry, Zach.
No worries. Good. I can definitely give you a champ argument for DK Metcalf. It all comes down to the remaining schedule as well as the desperation that the Seahawks will have here. Trust me, with Pete Carroll having his worst season as a Seattle Seahawks head coach since his beginning year in 2011, and the fact that you have, of course, offense coordinator Shane Waldron trying to probably retain his job because it's been this awful since Schottenheimer has left. Yeah, so you're going to have to get Metcalf involved. It was the talk of the town on Monday Night Football that he only had two catches, mostly in the fourth quarter, super late. But the main opponents the Seahawks have open up opportunities at the end of the year. You're going to have in this mix-up, you're going to have the Texans, the Bears, and the Detroit Lions all in this. Yes, you have divisional opponents in the 49ers and the Rams and the Cardinals. But I think that with in terms of Seattle, they come to play in these games and divisional opponents, especially against San Fran and L.A. in recent years. Chicago, yeah, they have the sack numbers. They're second in sacks. But really, I'm a Bears fan as well, funny enough, Wes. And if there's one thing I know, if you aren't being covered by Jalen Johnson, you're going to get burned. Kendall Vindor has been terrible as of late. I mean, they've had Artie Burns come in last week, but still was burned very well, even in that third Thanksgiving contest. There are opportunities for Metcalf to jump up from 22. I think there is a slight chance he can get to 10 in the champ section. He will get there at the very bottom, thanks to production from three of those last six games, and maybe a little bit in the divisional round or divisional contest, that is.
A champ on the fly argument. That was impressive. Nick, who do you got for round three?
Well, not only did Zach bring the data, he also got an assist from Wes. So, you know what, Wes? You just found out who's your daddy, and it's going to go to Zach.
Zach, who's your daddy, Tillman?
I do have, of course, the icon here. So he's catching it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, congratulations.
It's 2-1. I saw he's got the Hoosiers.
Right. It's 2-1. It's 2-1 for Zach. Here we go for round four. All right. We're going to tight end CJ Uzomah. At tight end, we're going to hear some good arguments here. I got a good feeling. Zach, I want you to make him a champ.
Ooh, CJ Uzomah. I always mix up the name, by the way. That's one of those I never get right. I will say, as in terms of those arguing, yes, he has been boom or bust this season. That is very much the case. Either you're going to get a two-touchdown performance or you're going to get, you know, maybe three-ish targets a game. However, I think that the matchups do favor in his direction, if you'd say. Still got the Baltimore Ravens on the plate, which – two touchdowns in that contest. Ravens have been able to allow some tight ends to get kind of out. I say the 49ers are also an optimal matchup too. The Chargers, you know, it's going to be run heavy, but I think that that'll allow for short targets near the end zone for CJ to go for, and tight ends definitely are one of the best options in the red zone to go to. Otherwise, I would think that, you know, you're able to get, say, Kansas City, pass-heavy kind of contest that you can have. I know that there's a lot of play. There's a lot of receivers in Cincinnati to go to. That's why you have this as a champ or chump, I would say. And he's sitting at 15th because of those opportunities that he hasn't had, say, T. Higgins being leaned on or having Tyler Boyd, who's slipped it way down into the cracks in fantasy. But there are opportunities based on the opponents that you can see him get these chances to sneak back up from his 15 spot into the top 10. That's why he's my champ.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the boom, he's been number one tight end like, at least for 2 weeks that I can't even recall off the top of my head. So, yeah, he's been a definite boom. But like you mentioned, lots of busts as well. Speaking of busts, Wes, let's make him a chump.
Chump argument. We all wondered who Gio Bernard leaving town that was going to open up targets, that was going to open up different things for Gio, for Mixon, and that's what it's done. And Mixon has just catapulted up into the elite running back of fantasy. Finally, we've all been waiting for it, and that's what happened. Those targets have not gone to CJ Uzomah. He's not getting the targets consistently, two or three. Like you said, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. And when you mentioned Baltimore, the first thing that comes to my mind, whenever a tight end seems to boom against teams or a player seems to boom against teams, that's going to be a focal point to be able to take that player away next time and say, hey, somebody else is going to have to beat us. So CJ Uzomah wasn't on the radar when he was booming in the NFL earlier this season. Now he's on everybody's radar, and I think that they say, okay, no more CJ Uzomah. I think he's going to have a couple of more good games, and making it into the top 10 is not that hard for a tight end, but CJ also has plenty of injury history to go along with his career. I don't think that he's going to end up in the top 10 just simply because mixing it in the fall weather is going to be a mouth to feed in Cincinnati.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, like I mentioned it last night, Joe Mixon, like he's a whole other animal this season. So I do agree with you on that totally. Nick, your thoughts on round four. Who you got?
Well, you know, I didn't really completely buy either argument. But I do believe in the phrase, the difference between a champ and a chump is you. And Wes, you took round four. Sorry, Zach.
It's amazing how that works. I don't know how I knew he was going there because somehow it's all tied up and we're going to the final round, round five. Unbelievable how this happens every week. Now, I know you guys didn't know prior to starting, but you both are Bears fans. So I did you both a solid. I want to hear some passion and some grind here. I gave you both the Bears D, who's currently 19th ranked in fantasy. I want to hear an argument for a champ. So, Wes, we'll start with you, sir. Let's hear it.
Bears champ. That's easy. It's just getting to be Bear football weather right now. That's what it is. And when I don't know if you guys remember the 85 Bears and the historic season and the best defense that ever played in the NFL. And the snow was falling down during the playoffs. And they were just smacking the Rams around. They were just doing all kinds of things to the opponents. That's what's going to happen again this year. I know that Mac is not there, but Mac is a leader inside that locker room. The Bears defense has come to play each and every week. They understand, especially with a rookie quarterback or even I love how they're playing for the Red Rifle right now. The whole team kind of seems to go around him, and I think that he is actually somebody the defense really loves to play for. Whether it's him, whether it's the rookie quarterback, they're all going to be out there playing their tails off to be able to make a big passionate play for the playoffs, which they're not ruled out of yet. It's coming. It's right around the corner, baby, but it's not yet, and they're going to give it all their effort to try and get him there. So I love the Bears defense coming up, especially over the next couple of weeks. I think they can finish in the top 10 just out of sheer heart.
Yeah, I will say I think the opposing defense is certainly get up for the Red Rifle. I will agree with you on that. All right, let's go, Zach. It's your time now. Let's hear your case for them as a champ.
For them as a champ. Well, if I'm talking a champ for this squad, simply put, it's just the sack numbers. You know, the fact that the Bears are able to are getting this much pressure this year. Last year, they were in such a slump. And I know Mac was injured for part of the year. Obviously, later on, it came out that Robert Quinn was also having to deal with injury. And it shows he's healthy this season. He's been getting around corners and forcing holding calls on him consistently. He's number four in sacks right now, which a Bears player has not finished top five in some time in sacks. I saw this today since Richard Dent, the great himself, the Hall of Famer. So talk about a performance right now. Quinn was signed to a massive deal, massive disappointment. He has helped turn favors around even with Khalil Mack, which is blown by my expectations. And the Bears are able to generate what they can with that. Pressure helps with any other facet of the game, especially in the passing department. Yes, I mentioned earlier about the weaknesses with Kendall Vildor and Artie Burns being that guy across from Jalen Johnson. But if you're able to get those sacks more and more, you're able to generate a bit more points by that way as well. I mean, when you're second there, that helps a lot with your fantasy numbers. And that can help with turnovers too, which the Bears are going to get an uptick, I think, from some matchups, including Seattle and New York that they have left on their docket. I think that they're able to get pressure against Minnesota. They'll probably split some, and that's going to be because they can get to that backfield and force some sort of turnovers. Trust me, Robert Quinn's going to get some sort of strip sacks here during the remainder of this six-game stretch, and that will help them get upwards to the top 10. That's why I think they're going to be champs.
All right, that was great argument. Normally, I'm going to give some respect to Nick, because Nick, normally I pick the winner. That's how we end up doing the round five. But tonight, sir, you are going to be hosting Fantasy Family Feud on Friday. So I'm going to leave it up to you, sir. You pick tonight's winner. Who do you think won, champs or chumps?
Well, I was surprised that neither one of you mentioned one of the best Bears on defense, and that's Roquan Smith. Nobody said Roquan Smith. Yeah. I was shocked. And then, so, you know, Wes, you are very, very funny. But Zach Daddy brought the noise, brought the thunder, and Zach Daddy, you are tonight's winner of Champs or Chumps.
All right. It's the Zach Daddy's a little weird, but congratulations, Zach. We are the champions.
Love it.
And Wes, just for right now.
Hey man, just want to let you know that sometimes you gotta shut the fuck up.
You gotta shut the fuck up.
And this current time is just one of those times you gotta shut the fuck up.
I don't think you're a bad person. I just don't want to hear you talking anymore. You gotta shut the fuck up.
Zach looked a little surprised with that.
And of course, the best award in all of fantasy football for the week.
Dumbass. Thank you. You call me dumbass. Play kind in time. Stupid. I had to dunk on.
Was that a turd sandwich? Is that what that was?
South Park reference?
All right, so we know champs or chumps. Both of you, of course, get your screen time. So let's give it up to the winner first. Zach, tell all of our listeners where they can find you and all your great stuff.
Well, guys, here's where you can find me. Look for me at Grid Gallery Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all your social content. Also, we're on YouTube at Gridiron Gallery. Look up the podcast there for any video versions. And we're available on every podcast platform you can find us on. You know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, look it up. We're on it. And then I'm also dealing, of course, with 4th and 4, which is part of the Belly Up pregame show. That is from 10 to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We'll give you all the stuff that you need in definitely our quarters here. News, betting odds, fantasy pickups, and our own picks of the week from our top games. You name it, we got it. Tune in for this coming week as well, as me and the cast from Hilo Sports will be doing another edition. You don't want to miss it. And thanks, all by right. the way, for Wes with me, the competition. I'm good to meet you, by the way, and nice to meet another fellow Bears fan in the wild as well.
Indeed. Wes, appreciate you going through all of that. And again, here is your time to let our listeners know where to find you and all your great content.
Well, I usually host experts. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Over at Fantasy Impact Today at FI Today with a little underscore over on Twitter. You can it's on all the platforms and everything like that. We do a DFS Dreamer podcast. Also, I do a podcast with Rob Norton about the Baby Bowl, which is a great competition that he puts on every year that's for just donating money to charity, also gets donations to winners. So we do that Baby Bowl podcast over at Fantasy Impact Today. And I do Pick and Pick Skid Winners, like you talked about, on Aaron Torres Media, which is a new company that's getting started up. And Aaron Torres, of course, he's a big name on Fox Radio and everything like that. And he's brought us on over there to do Pick and Pick Skin Winners. And I have a new host each and every week to go on there with me. And we just pick the games, NFL games against the spread. And that's what we do. We have a lot of fun over there.
Awesome. Well, make sure if you guys got time, please go check both these great podcasts out, both these great hosts. We appreciate you guys coming in. It's always a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed it tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate
it. You are a funny man, sir. Wes, you are funny.
Wes, you are funny indeed. We do appreciate you. And Zach, you're pretty funny yourself, man. What are you
doing? I try.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll get to poke fun at ourselves. We're going to talk about all the things we got wrong last week. We'll be right back. Thanks, guys.
This is Freddie the Jester from TSS Fantasy. As you know, I am a jokester. And one of the things I'm serious about is the health of my car. When my car is not working properly, I take it to the auto clinic in St. Cloud, Florida. Anytime my brakes or AC needs to be repaired or I just need general maintenance, I take it directly to the auto clinic where they take care of all my auto needs. They are a complete auto repair shop. If you need repairs done to your vehicle, the auto clinic is the place. It can be found at 1524 13th Street, St. Cloud, Florida, 34769. And you can call them at 407-892-8104 to schedule an appointment. You can trust the folks at Auto Clinic that you can trust I'm about to have another snack break.
All righty, let's talk about all the things we got wrong last week.
Oh, you're so dumb, baby, you're so dumb. I can tell right now, you ain't no good for me. When I think...
What'd you say, Nick? Sorry, I clicked you off there.
I said that was entertaining. That was a good time.
Yeah, that was good. Although I don't know, even though I wrote that in the thing, I don't think he remembered that he was going to get the shut the fuck up song.
I don't think he appreciated it too much either.
I know. Hey, you know what? Oh, well, welcome to the show. All right, here we go. Let's talk about the ultimate team contest. And let me tell you right now, that was the most embarrassing showing for myself all season long. I have not went under 100 yet, and this week I did indeed. 88.2 points. I had Lamar kind of, he did okay, but then Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor's okay. Had Adams, had Kupp, Dalvin Cook with the injury, Darren Waller with the injury, and then I tried to get sneaky with the Bears D. That didn't do me any favors at all. For this week, indeed, this is me for the ultimate team.
Dumbass. Thank these. You call me dumbass. Play kind in a time. Stupid.
Now, Mr. Flanders, you finished in number two. So your team, actually, you put Jalen Hurts in at quarterback, which didn't do you any favors. But the big savior for your team was Deebo Samuel with 19.8, so it was a good call there. Devontae Adams in your flex and Gronk as your tight end. Nick Folk, had a great game as a kicker, so good job on those. The juice is loose. He was the one this week, though, that did take it. Josh Allen was the big thing for him with 28.7 points at quarterback. Pretty much put him over the top with that. Everything else, Mark Andrews did what Gronk did. Patriots D also kind of set the tone for him as well. So congratulations, Juice, on your ultimate team this week. You, my friend, take home the glory of absolutely nothing. All right, let's bring up now our starts and sits. I did okay with some of the starts. Russell Wilson, 19.5 points. A.J. Dillon, 15. But DK Metcalf, and we were just talking about him, 1.3 points. Not very good as a stardom. And again, the Bears D didn't show up at all with 4 points there. So not so good there. And then on my sit-ems, you could pretty much put these guys in as starting lineup, and you'd probably win most matchups. So I'm not really sure if I knew what I was talking about at all this week. But I wasn't the worst, so I don't earn it there. We got Matt Stafford. I put his sit at a good week. Miles Gaskin as a sit-up. Good week, but that's Miles Gaskin. He's up and down. We know how that goes. DJ Moore, okay, up and down. He had an okay game. He had that one bomb, but that was pretty much it. Dawson Knox, the number one tight end of the week. So it's not really quite a sit-up. And Steelers D, I was right with the sit him there. I wasn't really feeling your domination over the Bengals when you were bringing that up last week. All right, now who do you got? Let's bring up your stardom and sit-ems. Talk about your stardom and sit-ems, Nick.
Wow, wow, wow. I didn't do so good, no. I got Jalen Hurts so good, had a 9.9. Antonio Gibson, all right, 16.6, not too bad. I really bombed with Chris Godwin. You know, Juice had him as a sit-em. I had him as a start-em. And I tried to get cute. And, well, it was like lipstick on a pig. Not cute at all. Also, I had Gronk in there at my tight end. And my Eagles just fell flat. My sits, not too terrible. With the exception, I had Tannehill. I had 9.1. But, man, I tried to get really cute. And I failed. Leonard Fournette as my sit. Oh, he didn't do too bad. He only got a 37.1. A.J. Brown had a 0, which was correct. Colts, 8.5. Excuse me, Jared Cook, 8.5. And my Colts came up at a 2.0 on defense. So not too terrible all around, but I did have two stinkers with Godwin and Fournette.
And let's also, A.J. Brown didn't play, so that wasn't quite
when you asked for the starts and sits, he was still gonna play. At least I'm not putting in players who have been out for 2 weeks, like somebody on this panel.
That is true. I gotta give it to you on that one indeed. All right, but for the Juice, my friend, you are the one that's going to get it this week because, sir, for your start, this is his starting lineup. Cam Newton, 8.2. This is his starts. Swift, 0.9. Pittman, 5.3. Pitts, 2.6. He did have an okay one with the Ravens D with 11. But, sir, that is probably the worst bunch of starts I've seen in a while. So you've earned it this week, sir.
Dumbass. Thank D.
You know what? I think he's tied with the Jeffter for the dumbass of the week.
We might have to roll the tape on that one.
Wow.
That's actually very interesting. All right. There was a couple things that were brought up. So let's go over some quick news. So a lot of the stuff was already covered with Dr. Miller. I just want to bring in a couple quick notes that we saw pop up. Daniel Jones with a strained neck. Actually, his status is still to be announced for this week. So be wary of that. And if you or can stream, I'm sure you can't really stream them at this point, but that will vault up the Dolphins' defense a lot because it's already kind of vaulted up to me with this matchup. So if he doesn't go, big effects all the way around, especially to Barkley as well. So just something to keep note of as the week comes on. Also, something to take note of. We talked about this last night. Taysom Hill. Sean Payton is saying, we're going to see how he does Wednesday. So it's not a definite that he's going to go or not. So, you know, again, maybe, you know, I know the waiver wire is out tonight. So if you've got a top waiver claim for him, might want to temper that because he's still talking about not even going with him. So we'll see exactly how that plays out in any event. So anyway, I don't know if you've heard anything about that, Nick, but your thoughts on Taysom Hill possibly maybe playing.
I don't know. Like I said, we talked about last night. I said he's best situationally. He doesn't do well as a whole game going in. But, you know, he's got to do better than Trevor Siemian because Trevor Siemian has not been playing well. So, again, I would find somebody else. I would try and find somebody else. Taysom Hill would be like my fifth, sixth option at this point because, you know, there's somebody out there on the waiver wire. Hell, Roethlisberger is on the waiver wire. I'd still take him over Taysom Hill. And as much as a Roethlisberger fan I am, I have more faith in him at this point than I do Taysom Hill.
I'm sorry. Did you say Ben Roethlisberger?
Why? He's on the waiver wire. He's better than Taysom Hill.
I just had to throw that out. It felt right there. That little womp sound sounded.
Why does it not feel right? Is my question.
All right, we got a busy week this week. So we do have, of course, a Thursday night game. We got to talk about big one indeed, where we got Dallas facing the Saints. So let's do a quick Thursday night breakdown. Just in time. So Taysom Hill, we just talked about that. You know, that's something that is of note for this matchup. If there is no Taysom Hill on the Saints side, I personally just don't give them a shot in Hades for this matchup. When Dallas, apparently from what I'm hearing, that Amari Cooper is going to be back off of COVID. They do expect him to be back. CeeDee Lamb will also be back. And we just talked about Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, sorry, that is one of the Christmas wreaths going off singing Christmas carols. Talked about Ezekiel Elliott's playing a full workload according to Jared Jones. So, again, all systems go for Dallas, and you have the Saints team that's kind of reeling, to be quite frank. And I think the last I saw, Dallas was favored by 4.5 or 3.5 for this matchup, which I do like them against the spread in that. Because again, they're all systems go. This Saints defense, I don't think was as good as we thought was advertised either. And especially with Dallas going on all cylinders. Nick, what are your thoughts on this game? Do you have any sleepers, and who do you really like fantasy wise in the matchup?
All right. Well, going back, let's see. The Dallas right now is favored at -4.5, and the over under is 47.5. So they're not. So the sharps are not looking for a very high vaulted,
high scoring. High
scoring game. I don't know. I mean, according to the latest injury report, Amari Cooper is out. Cedric Wilson is questionable. And on the Saints side, Alvin Kamara is questionable. So if Alvin Kamara does come back, that's going to really jumpstart that Saints offense. And I would feel a little bit better about playing Taysom Hill, because it's not going to be all on him. Because we know, as we've seen, Ingram just hasn't been able to carry the load there down in New Orleans. So as far as sleepers goes, no real sleepers. Maybe Tony Pollard. I'd go Pollard, because they said, the medical staff says Zeke should sit. Jerry Jones says, well, it's my money, and I'm going to play with the way I want. So, hell with his health, So he said he's going to go play. Zeke, if I'm Zeke, I'm like, look, my knee's a little banged up. You don't need me to win this week. Let me sit out and be helpful for the playoffs, because as we know, the number one thing that gets in Dallas's way is Dallas Cowboys. They can't get out of their own way. So if they want to win a Super Bowl, take a step back, just rest a little bit. But as far as everything else goes, it could be a field goal game, and Zuerlein. I'm going to say Zuerlein is going to be your sleeper.
Nick pulling out the kickers for you. That's when you're getting in-depth fantasy analysis, when the kicker is a sleeper in the matchup. On the other side, I think it's not even a sleeper, but, to me, depending on who starts, if it's Trevor Siemian, from what I understand, Alvin Kamara is going to be a go this week. So, either way, I still like Cowboys defense in this matchup, either way. But it's interesting that you're bringing up Taysom Hill. If he goes, and Mark Ingram, he's ready, they could potentially run a very decent wildcat type offense down the New Orleans. So if they wanted to set it up that way, possibility, because they're going to have, Taysom Hill you have Mark Ingram and you have Alvin Kamara all able to run the football. So it could be interesting nonetheless. We'll see how
Dallas has been proven to stop the run this season. It's just against the pass that they've been not very good on. And who do you trust to throw the ball? Trent Simeon or Hill?
Right. I mean, probably neither, but Taysom Hill, again, gives you all that running. So, you know, that'll again, we'll see how it goes nonetheless. But, again, I like all systems go for this Dallas team. I like Dak. I like Amari. I like CeeDee Lamb. And I like Zeke, depending, again, but you mentioned watch out for Tony Pollard if they end up watching the carry. So that'll be but and on the Saints side, you know, again, depending on the quarterback, you know, I'm not really big on any receivers on that side. But Alvin Kamara, you got to start him if he's a go. Mark Ingram could be a decent matchup, too. We'll see how that sets up. So, anyway, that's our Thursday night breakdown. Nick, we appreciate you. I appreciate you coming in tonight. Don't forget, guys, check us out on Friday. We're going to do a fun fantasy family feud. This is going to be Nick's show on Friday, his first time being the host and having controls. I'm a little scared. It's like a little baby. Or excuse me, a dad handing over the baby to the babysitter first time going out or something. Kind of what it feels like, so I'm a little nervous, but I know Nick can handle it. So it'll be fun. We're going to do a fun fantasy family feud with me against Mrs. Mary Jane Esquire. She's going to bring her fantasy knowledge, and Nick's going to bring some other fun stuff, I'm sure, to the table. So I'll be excited to see that. All right, guys. So, again, check us out on Friday. Don't forget, check out TSSFantasy.com. All of our current rankings are out. Go check those out. And we appreciate you. We are out.
Thank you, TSS family. We love you.